These are some exciting.
Persecuted by his brothers, and he was thrown in the pit. And he went from the pit to the palace. He ended up in prison. He became
seen your salvation. He didn't say, I've seen a man who's going to be good and going to impact the world. He didn't say, I'm going to see a wonderful teacher. He didn't say, I have seen a prophet. He said, I have seen your salvation. Amen. And that word salvation, soter, has a great impact when you understand what that word means. And it is very similar to the word Savior. Jesus was born for a purpose. And God understood that purpose before he was born. Now, notice Luke chapter 2 again. Verse 14. Here is one thing that the angels declared. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, that statement was not just something that was thrown out there as a friendly greeting. But rather, these angels were declaring something prophetically. They knew the end from the beginning. Now, see, many times that's why it's hard for us to grasp some biblical principles, because when God begins a thing, he already knows the outcome.
Amen.
He has determined the outcome before the thing began.
Amen.
That's the way God does things. And when Jesus was born, God already knew the outcome. He had purposed him to be a Savior. And so the angels declared, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now that word peace means more than just the absence of conflict. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic, but I am confident that the angels, when they were speaking to these shepherds in Israel at that time, did not speak Greek. They may have said something in Aramaic, but it was probably in Hebrew. Now, what's my point? God speaks to you where you are.
Amen.
See, if you're country, guess what? He'll speak to you country.
Amen.
If you're sophisticated and erudite, well, he'll address you accordingly.
Amen.
But we don't have to put on an air. There's one thing about my mother. I love my mom. My mom's in heaven. But mom had two voices. She had a regular voice. She had a phone. Whenever the phone rang, y'all remember back in the day we had rotary phones? Mom would pick up the phone. Hello. Yes. Who would you like to talk to? Then she'd hang up the phone. But then you get up and pick that stuff up. Mom had a regular voice and a phone voice. Well, you don't need to have a phone voice with God. There have been times the Lord has spoken to me and I'm just minding my own business. And he speaks to me in a way that I get it. You know what I mean? One time he spoke to me in a phone booth, called me boy. Boy? And I understood exactly what he said. Are you with me? So, I'm sure that these angels probably said to these shepherds in Hebrew, peace, shalom, on earth. Now, if you understand the meaning of words, and I love words and the meaning of words, peace is more than just the absence of conflict. The word shalom means peace, safety, security, well-being, prosperity, and healing. All of those things are wrapped up in that word shalom. And so when someone says to you, peace, what they really mean is, we want you to be well, we want you to be secure, we want you to thrive and do well, we want you to be well and healthy. Safety, security, wellness, well-being, all of those things are wrapped up in that word. Now when the angels declared peace on earth, they were speaking prophetically, because the death of that child, Jesus, and his resurrection from the dead would enable us to walk in the peace of God. Safety, security, well-being, healing, and health. All of those things are wrapped up in that word, peace. Not only did they say peace on earth, they said goodwill toward men. There again, not just a little fancy greeting. Oh, bless you. Well, you know, we need to be careful with what we say and how we say it.
Amen.
What I mean is, when you say something, you should mean it.
Yeah,
when he says something, he means it. So when the angels announced to these shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, what they were saying is, the end result of this birth in Bethlehem is that you will be able to have peace, safety, security, well-being, prosperity, healing, and favor with God. Because of what happened in this little town. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Not a good man, not a prophet, not a wonderful teacher, but a Savior. Now, turn with me your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's back up. Hebrews chapter 1. This is the second passage that we're going to look at. Hebrews chapter 1. You know, you could teach and preach on the birth of Jesus and the events around his birth for weeks and just scratch the surface. So every Christmas time, I'm trying to highlight a little different aspect of those events. But notice Hebrews chapter 2. And Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll begin with the first verse. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is that we live in a culture that consciously tries to diminish the work of Jesus, the work of Christ, and put it on the same plane as other religious icons. And if you happen to be a congregant, that's the way they present it. Well, we're going to look at Christianity, we're going to look at Islam, we're going to look at all these things. And the bottom line is that they consciously do this. Well, you know, they're really all the same. And you know, it's sort of like a story for every day. You know, if you like pasta, good, I'll get you some. If you like roast beef, that's good, get you some. If you like seafood, it's good, get you some. Whatever you like, it's fine. Well, it might be that case is beef and meat or Old Country Buffet. But with life, it's not that way. The angels declare that unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Not a good man, not a wonderful teacher, not a prophet, but a Savior. Now, here, the Holy Spirit says Hebrews and us. And he says, I love the way the Hebrews are written, that they kind of right out of the box with both barrels of loaded. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God, with sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, here's something that's very distinctive that he's talking about here. He said that God in times past spoke to the fathers, our descendants, through prophets. But in these last days, and when he wrote this, about 2,000 years ago. He said, in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. Not a good man, not a wonderful teacher, not a prophet, but by his Son. And then he goes on to say, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now there's a difference between being a good man, a wonderful teacher, and a great prophet, and being the Creator. They are not one and the same. There is a vast difference, a distinct difference. See, Jesus was with God and with the Holy Spirit in the beginning. And John, who spent 3.5 years with Jesus in his earthly ministry, said, begotten of the Father. So he knew that this young man that he was ministering with, who was born in Bethlehem when the angels announced him, was more than just a good man, was more than just a wonderful teacher, was more than just another prophet. He was the Word of God wrapped in flesh.
Amen.
And he recognized it. And he said, we beheld his glory. We heard it. We saw it. And there was something distinctly different about Jesus versus any other religious icon. And this is something you must know. You must not allow the culture. You must not allow educated kids to trick you or fool you into thinking that Jesus was just like all the others. No, there's a vast, distinct difference.
Amen.
He's not a good man. He's not a wonderful teacher. He's not a prophet. He's the Savior. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says, for there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Picture religious icons. They can't save you. They may have a system, a religious system, that does some wonderful good things that can make you feel good and bring peace and bring instruction to your life. But the bottom line is, Jesus came to die so that we can be free. And the only thing that we can do to experience that peace and goodwill toward men is to believe in what he said. God made it so easy. Faith opens the door to salvation. Notice this. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's go to verse 2. As in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Notice verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged himself, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Now we'll address that here. But the first two parts of that verse, who be the brightness of his glory. You know, that's an old English phrase. What does that mean? That simply means that when Jesus walked the earth, he was the sole expression of God. It was him. God the Father walked the earth in the person of a man. He was the brightness of God's glory. Now, the second part of that verse is wonderful. It says, and he was the express image of his person. Now, if you understand this, this is what the word says in the word. That word, image, is a Greek word that is an engraving term. And it is the Greek word, character. And it literally means to sculpt something and to make an exact copy. And so what the writer of Hebrews is letting us know is that Jesus on the earth was the exact expression or a copy of God. And so that simply means in every human encounter, in every situation that he found himself in, listen to me carefully, Jesus did what God would have done. He said what God would have said. And so many times people have strange thinking about God. Did you know that? Oh, some people have some bizarre thinking about God. They think that God is the author of all this bad stuff. They think that God doesn't care about people. They think that God punishes people with disease and calamity. Well, I don't know what God you're referring to, but it's not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the creator of the universe. You know, there was an instance when Jesus came upon man, and I don't know if you guys come on Wednesday night, you heard this stuff. And and his disciples happened to be passing by a guy who was born blind. And one of the disciples said, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born this way?" Now, there are some people who think that God does things like that. Well, Jesus answered the question, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. But he didn't stop there. He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. For the night's coming when no man can work. This will only be this man who was born blind. Spit on the ground with his fingers and made little mud pies. And then picked up that mud and smeared it on the fellow's eyes. And told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man got up, walked, and it was not a short jump before he did the pool all the way in. Washed that mud off his eyes and received his sight. Now, no good teacher can pull that off. No good man can make that work. No prophet can pull that one out of a hat. You with me? The Holy Ghost anointed Jesus to bring that man's sight back.
Amen.
I should say sight that he never had. Now, why did Jesus do it? Because that was the will of God for that man. Why did Jesus do it? Because God would have done the same thing.
Amen.
He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Many people read that verse, and because of the way it's playing out in the James Bible, you know, with the commas and the periods, they think that, well, God made that man blind so Jesus can heal him. Well, isn't that ridiculous? No, the Bible says God will not play. You should know that was in the Bible. God's not the problem. He's the answer. And so Jesus was an exact copy, duplicate of God walking the earth. And so he did those things that God wanted done. He said those things that God wanted said. That's wonderful. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of Majesty on the mountain. So he went from a feeding trough to the right hand of God the Father. With me? Listen. Seated at the throne with God the Father, there's only one chair. Jesus Joseph. There aren't many chairs. There's not a council of religious figures in heaven. There's only one.
Amen.
And Jesus is it.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
And he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting until the here's what was the point. If Jesus was and is, James will declare and announce him to be, then he will continue to do what he's always done. The Bible says, just a little further, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and not tomorrow, but forever.
Amen.
He never changes.
Amen.
And so this Christmas season, allow the living Christ to minister through you.
Amen.
Because we live in a world that is clueless. We got people who, you know, been in church for 30, 40, 50 years, don't have a clue. You with me? Isn't that a shame? You sit there all that time, not have a clue. Talk about wasting time. give us a different commission? Well, this is 2014, about to come into 2015. Just tell people how good God is. Just one way. Be bold.
Amen.
Let people know Jesus is not just a prophet, he's the Savior.
Amen.
And if you're sick, he'll heal you.
Amen.
I mean, it takes guts to say stuff like that. Thank you. parts of the earth where seemingly no man has been, go with assurance and confidence to the place of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit gives us charge at times in our thinking, focus in the right area, so that we can do what God has called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to wish, on behalf of my wife, my family, all of you, a very merry, blessed Christmas. And we anticipate a super new year. And I just want to pray that God's grace and blessings be upon you in a powerful way, in a greater way, in a greater degree than in years gone by.
Amen.
And if you will make prayer the anchor in your life, you'll notice that 2015 will be a whole lot better than 2014. Amen. And a lot of your power, crazy relatives, will get turned around this year.
Amen.
And they don't have to be old folks to turn around. We've got some younger people need to turn around. Amen. We've got some younger people need to turn around. Don't be caught up with all this weird stuff.
Acknowledging that he's more than just a good man. He's more than a wonderful teacher. He's more than a prophet. But he is indeed the Savior. Thank you for this opportunity to come and to hear the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with each other. But most importantly, thank you for what you're doing by the Holy Spirit in the lives of each and every one of us. We thank you and acknowledge the greatness of our God and the exaltation of Jesus. There's none like him. He is in a position all by himself. For he is the creator of the universe. He is the Word made flesh. And so we honor him today. We magnify you and thank you for the precious gift that you gave. And we bless you and thank you for our ability to partake of what he has given. Thank you for the life that he came to give. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, he died just for you. He came just for you. If that's you and you want to enter into the kingdom of God, it belongs to you. I want to pray with you. Just be still for a moment. We'll pray with you. Or if you've been part of the household of faith, but you wandered away, decide you're going to do your own thing, and you find out real quick that didn't work, and you want to come back home, he's ready to receive you with open arms, because he loves you. He never stopped loving you. But if that fits you, I want to pray with you. Anybody in the house on either one of those propositions, if you said, Pastor Young, that's me, pray with me, I want to pray with you this morning. Anybody in the house? If that's you, just wave at me. Anybody? Okay. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that God's grace is strong on you?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray a prayer, and then we're going to have communion.